Good evening. If you would, be turning your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're glad you're here tonight, whether you're here personally or virtually. We appreciate your being with us. I'll get it one of these days. All right. We have some long-term viewers, or I should say long-distance viewers. We want to say hello to Luke and Megan, who are listening from Guam, and Isaac from China. About 7,600 miles for Luke and Megan, and 7,400 miles for Isaac. We're glad that they can be with us tonight. It's actually Luke's birthday, so happy birthday, son. And I think if I read the bulletin right, we have another person here in our audience that has a birthday today, and that's Morgan Meadows. So happy birthday to Morgan. It's been well over a year ago that when I heard Brother Glenn Colley preach a sermon entitled "Why I Attend Bible Class," and I thought at the time, you know, I don't believe I've ever heard anybody preach a sermon or teach a class solely on this topic. And so I jotted down a few notes, and since then have added quite a few notes of my own. And so tonight I want to talk to you, preach about this topic, why we attend Bible class. Now, I have to admit, I chose this subject a couple, 3 weeks ago, and I was a little bit more excited about teaching it when we were scheduled to have Bible classes. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case, or hasn't been the case. So we're just going to preach it with anticipation that someday we're going to have Bible classes. I have 10 reasons why we attend Bible class. We're not going to get through all 10 of those tonight, but we'll get through as many as we can. Number one, we attend Bible class because it's a good way to obey God. It's a good way to obey God. The Apostle Peter authored the book that we know as 2 Peter, and he barely begins that letter when he gives them a list of things that they need to improve on, verses 5 and 6. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence," and that word diligence means doing your very best. If you're diligent, you're doing your very best. "For this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness." You know, knowledge, one of the things that he says that these Christians need to add in their lives is a knowledge of God's word. You know, our spiritual knowledge is so important, and he tells us why it's so important. Look at verse 3. It says, "The Lord has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us." Do you want to know the answers to this life's questions? Do you want to know how to face the challenges of this life? Do you want to know how to get eternal life? Well, we get those if we have through the knowledge of him who has called us. So we need to be diligent, and we need to grow in our spiritual knowledge. At the very end of this letter, Peter warns the Christians about remaining steadfast and tells them how to accomplish it. He says that it's a two-part equation. The very last verse of this book, he says, or the last two verses of this book, he says, "Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and we heard about that this morning, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So like bookends, one at the beginning of this letter and one at the end, are these two directives from the Apostle Peter, telling us that we need to grow in our spiritual knowledge. Growing in our spiritual knowledge is important, it's ongoing, and it's a commandment of God. So diligently attending Bible class is a good way to add to and to grow in our knowledge of spiritual matters. We attend Bible class because it is a good way to obey God. Number two, we attend Bible class because we want to avoid God's rejection. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's the King James. In the New King James, it says, "Be diligent." There's that word again. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God." And the ESV actually says, "Do your best to present yourself unto God as one approved." The implication is that if we do not do our best to be good Bible students, then we stand unapproved or rejected before God. And therefore, given the opportunity and the wherewithal to attend Bible class, the faithful Christian will give all diligence to attend. If you would turn your Bibles and your devices to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Some of you may say, "I know that verse," and you may very well. It's probably the most popular verse in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea prophesied in a very dark time to the northern kingdom. In fact, he prophesied right at the end of their existence, right before they were taken into Assyrian captivity. And God, through the prophet Hosea, said in chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." I would suggest to you that there are two reasons given in this verse why the Israelites lacked knowledge. Number one was poor attitude. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge." There's poor attitude. They just simply didn't want to hear it. They had a poor attitude. And number two was poor practice. Later on in the verse, it says, "Because you have forgotten the law of your God." What they did know, they simply forgot because they weren't attentive to maintaining that knowledge that they had. And so God rejected them. He says, "I reject you from being priest for me." Much like the individual priests were supposed to embody the characteristics of God to the Israelite nation, the nation of Israel was to also be a reflection of God to the nations around them. And the northern kingdom was simply anything but a good reflection of what God was. And so he says, "I'm going to reject you, and I'm going to forget your children. I'm simply going to let you go into Assyrian captivity," and as we know, they never returned. So Hosea is teaching telling them that their fate has been sealed. You can almost imagine what it was like in Hosea's time when somebody said, "Oh, you know, Hosea's teaching God's word on Sunday morning. You want to go hearing?" You can imagine somebody responding and saying, "You know, no thanks." Said, "I've heard him teach those lessons before, and, you know, Hosea's just not my kind of teacher." Or maybe somebody else said, "No thanks. You know, we stay up late on Saturday night, and, you know, it's hard to get the kids up and get them ready to go out that early in the morning." You know, as Christians, we need to be aware and need to guard against being like the Israelites of Hosea's day, who lacked a knowledge of God's word. Instead, we need to be people like Jesus described in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Attending Bible class is a good way to be filled with righteousness. And so we attend Bible class to keep us knowledgeable of God's word. And in turn, that will help us to avoid God's rejection. Number three, we attend Bible class because we are concerned for each other. If you would, turn to another familiar verse, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Let me ask you a question while you're doing that. Are you more encouraged when a few people show up for Bible class or when many people are here? Of course, I think most people are going to say, when more people are here, we're more encouraged. It's good to know that there are people who are striving for the same goals as we are. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." This verse is often used in reference to worship services, but certainly our Bible classes would fall under the category of assembling. So what is the motivation that the Hebrew writer says for us not to forsake the assembling? Well, in this verse, it gives us the reason or the result of us assembling, and that is that we encourage each other when we do assemble. But the motivation is actually found in the previous verse, in verse 24. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up good works." Let us consider one another. That's the motivation he gives for not forsaking the assembling. I looked up the word, the meaning of the word consider. It is what you would think it would be. It means to think carefully about. And so what the author is saying here is, I want you to think carefully about one another and not forsake the assembling. And also, the word consider is very similar in meaning. It means to carefully consider. These verses tell us that my attendance and that your attendance is not just about you and about me individually, but it's about our brethren as well. And certainly there are benefits, self-benefits, to coming to services for us. But these verses tell us that even when we don't feel like coming to services, maybe for my own self, that I'm going to think about and consider carefully my brethren. And I'm going to go and get up and go there and attend because I want to be considerate of them, because I'm concerned for them. In these two verses is the principle that we need to put others before ourselves. And this principle is taught in various places throughout the New Testament. In fact, it's all through the New Testament. And a couple places are in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 and 11, where it says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence," there's that word again, diligence, "not lagging in doing your very best, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." And also in Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We are commanded to be concerned about each other. So if we choose to sleep in an hour later on Sunday morning instead of coming to Bible class, if we choose to sit at the ballpark on Wednesday night and instead of attending Bible class, if we choose to fill in the blank and forsake the assembling of the saints, the Bible indicates that we are being inconsiderate of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me add a footnote, and it's this. Live streaming is a very valuable tool during this pandemic. And live streaming is a very valuable tool for those who are sick and shut in during non-pandemic times. But we must never make the mistake of thinking that live streaming is a substitute for assembling. After this pandemic is over, and if we have the health and the ability to once again assemble, and we choose to live stream for our own convenience instead of coming to the assembly, we're missing the point of Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. We are commanded to exhort each other, and the exhorting is to be done in the assembling. If we do not assemble, we cannot obey the command to exhort one another. We attend Bible class because we love our congregation and because we're concerned and we are considerate for our spiritual family. Number four, we attend Bible class because it is a good way to supplement our children's education. Our Bible classes are a good way to, or rather, Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Our Bible classes are a good way to train up a child. And for those of us who are parents, our children should be at the top of our list of people to take to heaven with us. You know, Noah, he wasn't able to save a lot of people in the ark, but he saved his family. Hebrews 11, verse 7 says that Noah, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And then there was Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. The Lord said of Abraham, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And then we know of Joshua. In Joshua 24 and verse 15 says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As parents, we should do everything we can to prioritize the church as number one in our lives. Dads and moms, don't underestimate the influence that you have. When you make it a point not to miss Bible class, you're teaching your children that the Word of God is something of value, that learning the Word of God is highly important, and that this life of Christianity is a high priority for your family. Now, having said that, our Bible class program is like that daily vitamin that you may or may not take every morning. It's a supplement. If you were to go to the doctor and you say, doctor, I'm feeling kind of sluggish and I'm losing weight, probably the first question they're going to ask is, well, how's your diet? And you say, oh, it's great. And you say, well, what are you eating? Well, I take a daily vitamin every day. What else do you eat? Well, that's it, just a daily vitamin. Well, they're going to look cross-eyed at you for a while, and then they're going to have a long talk with you about your diet, because the one vitamin is simply a supplement. And much like that, our Bible classes are simply a supplement to what a child is supposed to receive as far as spiritual education at home. Parents have the primary responsibility of the children's spiritual education. It's always been like that. It was like that in the Old Testament. It's like that in the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, you shall teach them, and it's talking about God's statutes and judgments, you shall teach them diligently. There's that word again, diligently. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Parents, I encourage you to have a family Bible study in your home each and every day. Some of you are already doing that, and that's great. You keep it up. You ask, how do I know that? Well, teachers tell me, hey, such and such child or such and such children, they really know their Bible. You can tell they're being taught at home. And so keep that up. Within the last 6 months, the elders have, on two different occasions, distributed books, Bible study books, to families with children, with the intent that the parents will use them to either start or continue family Bible studies in their homes. And so we want to encourage you to do that. With God being removed from public school and many other parts of our society, we need to give our children as much spiritual education as we can provide them. We attend Bible class because it is a good supplement to our children's education. Number five, we attend Bible class because we want to be consistent. As Christians, we claim to be followers of Christ. We claim to be disciples of Christ and pupils of the teachings of Christ. We claim to be students of God's word. And so it's necessary that what we claim verbally is consistent with our actions. Our words and our works should align. We need to be consistent. Christianity is all about consistency. In fact, it's taught throughout the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 23 and 24, Jesus teaches there. He says, "Therefore," and I'm paraphrasing, "if you bring your gift to the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, you leave your gift there. You go first and reconcile with your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Well, he's teaching about consistency. The principle to that teaching is found at the other end of the New Testament in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hate his brother, he is a liar. And he says, 'For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen?'" We need to be consistent in our relationships between God and man. The New Testament, more than not, teaches about consistency by pointing out the inconsistencies of various people. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said of the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." They were inconsistent. He does it again in Matthew chapter 23, talking again about the scribes and the Pharisees. He tells the disciples and the apostles, they, the scribes and the Pharisees, sit in Moses' seat. In other words, they have positions of authority over you. And because of that, he says, "Whatever they tell you, you observe and do, but do not according to their works, for they say and do not." And then Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus teaching the disciples, and he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say?" And then there was that occasion in Galatians chapter 2 with the apostle Peter, and he was being rebuked by the apostle Paul. You remember Peter was treating the Gentiles one way until the Jewish brethren came, and then he withdrew himself from the Gentiles. He was being inconsistent. Then one other example in Titus chapter 1. Paul, the Apostle Paul, leaves Titus in Crete for one of the purposes is to ordain elders in every city. And one of the tasks that those elders were charged with was to correct some insubordinate members. It says in verse 13 that they were to rebuke them sharply so that they would be sound in the faith. And then in verse 16, it says of these members that they profess to know God, but in works they deny him. So as Christians, we want to profess to be students of Christ's teachings. And we attend Bible class diligently, so our actions and our actions are consistent with what we profess to be. We've seen that we attend Bible class because it's a good way to obey God. And it's a way to avoid God's rejection. We attend Bible class because we are concerned for each other. It's a good way to supplement our children's education. And then we attend Bible class because we want to be consistent. And I think we got time. We'll do one more. We attend Bible class because we need to be reminded of what we already know. You know, when the boys still lived at home, every Sunday after church, usually at the dinner table, I would ask them a question, each of them. "What did you learn in Bible class today?" And, you know, they would tell me, but on occasion they would say, "Dad, I didn't learn anything. I knew everything that they talked about in Bible class." And I would respond to them, "Well, what were you reminded of that you already knew?" And so we need to be reminded of what we already know. And the New Testament talks a lot about being reminded of things that we already know. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of all my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. And also 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. He tells Timothy to remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, where we started tonight, Peter says, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir up you by reminding you." And then at the last chapter, he says, in chapter 3, 2 Peter, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." And then one final in Jude chapter 1 and verse 5, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe." And so, even though we know Bible, often we forget it, and we need to be reminded. And so you may not learn something new every time you come to Bible class, but it's equally important is that perhaps you're reminded of something that you had forgotten. So we attend Bible class because it is a great way to be reminded of what we already know. One of the things that we teach in Bible class is the plan of salvation. The need that people need to hear the gospel, that they need to believe in the Son of God, that he came to this earth, that he died on the cross for all men's sins, that the need to repent, in other words, change from a way of a lifestyle of sin to trying to do what the Lord wants, and the need to confess our faith in Christ as the Son of God, and then be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. We teach those things. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, or if you're listening tonight and you're not a Christian, we would just love for you to make that decision to become a Christian tonight, and know that we're here to help and assist you in whatever way we can. If you are a Christian, perhaps there's been some inconsistencies in your life, and you need to make those right in a public manner. Again, we're here to assist you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. Whatever your need might be tonight, please make it known. Let's stand and sing.